Well, good morning. We're glad you're here hanging out with us at Genesis Church. A couple of things you should have gotten when you came in. I just want to make sure everybody gets these. And if you haven't, we'll get some people out to grab these. First of all, you should have gotten a puzzle piece. Did you get one? Everybody get a puzzle piece coming in? Raise your hand if you didn't get a puzzle piece. The other thing you should have had, Bob will help us out here real quick. Grab these. You should have gotten one of these sheets too. So raise your hand if you didn't get one of these, all right? We're going to grab those, get them in here, and make sure everybody gets a puzzle piece and everybody gets one of these sheets. We have kind of made a worship bulletin that's kid-friendly this morning since you're in here that has a word search on the back. That's for the kids, by the way. All right, and but it's kind of a note sheet you can follow. And as we kind of go along this morning, one of the things we'll do is there's actually some take-home. There should be take-home every week from a sermon, but this week we've got it on here. So just some things you can do to kind of apply the sermon and start thinking about it. So go ahead and raise your hand if you don't have a puzzle piece or a sheet. Norma here and down here in front. All right, very good. Well, the guy was just an usher, okay? He was just an usher. He worked in a Baptist church, and his job was to help people find their seat and then collect the offering when the offering time would come. Didn't feel like his job was too important, and I'm sure there were times where he just kind of went, I don't even know why I wake up and do this. I mean, anybody could do this. It's not a big deal that I do it. And there was a service one night. They had a big... this church had a big kind of a gathering where they had a special guest speaker coming in, and he was there doing his job. And I can imagine that after doing it week after week, month after month, you just kind of a job like an usher, you just kind of feel like, wow, does this really matter? Does it make any difference? But while he was sitting back there thinking that to himself, church service had gotten pretty full. Three young men walked in and they started walking around trying to find a seat. And realized that the place was so full that they were just going to have a really difficult time finding a seat. It wasn't going to work out for them. And so they just decided they were going to kind of check out, maybe come back some other time. And they started walking out the back door of the church. And as they started walking out the back door of the church, this usher noticed them and went and grabbed the three boys and said, hey, I tell you what, I got a seat for you. There's seats over here. We can sit you all together. And he led them down and sat them in the service all together. And they stayed for this service where they were singing. This guy preached. And during the service that those boys stayed in, two of those young men gave their lives to Jesus. One of those two young men that gave their lives to Jesus was a young man named Billy Graham. Oh, the ministry of an usher. Every person serving Jesus, living using their gifts and their call and their purpose to live for the greater glory of God and for his eternal purposes. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing when people say, you know what? God has wired me, he's gifted me, he's shaped me. We're going to use that as an acrostic in a few minutes. We're in a series that's on a book called The Purpose-Driven Life by a guy named Rick Warren. And in this series, we've been talking about God's purpose for us. And ultimately, God's purpose is to live for the glory of God, that we're to live for his glory and enjoy him forever. But as we do that, there are things that we need to have in our life that are purposes that flow into the big purpose. And the idea of the book is, and our sermon series is that we need to start creating channels in our life where we are intentional about doing certain things to allow the work of God, the grace of God to fill us, to work in us, to do something beautiful in us as we fulfill his purposes. And we've talked already about a few of these. We talked about the purpose of worship, the idea that we were created for God, by God, and we were to live our lives for his pleasure. Our lives are to please him, and we to sing and exalt Jesus, but we also need to live our lives for him every day of the week, that we were created for fellowship, that God literally created us to be connected to the people of faith and to have relationships in the body of Christ. And as we love each other, the love of God is displayed in us. And so it's important for us to have fellowship, community in the church. Last week, we talked about the fact that we were made to be like Jesus, that literally God has called us to live in a life of discipleship. And as we read the Bible and as we pray and as we also just do daily life, that God is changing our lives, that the goal is that I look a little more like Jesus tomorrow than I do today, and I look a little more like Jesus today than I did yesterday, and that through all this, God is bringing glory to himself as he makes me more like Jesus. Well, today we're going to talk about the purpose of ministry and the idea that God has shaped us for himself, shaped us for his purpose, and shaped us for the purpose of ministry or serving in the body of Christ. There's a story of an old dude who lived in the mountains of North Carolina who was walking along a creek bed one day, and he found this huge, really beautiful rock, this big giant stone. And he brought it back to his house. He thought, this is really beautiful. I don't know what to do with it. But he started looking around. He figured out it would make a really good doorstop. And he put this stone in front of the door and used it as a doorstop. And then the people who bought the house after him just said, well, that looks really good there. The people who bought the house after him said, that looks really good there. And there were several generations of people who lived in that house who thought, man, that's a really good doorstop. One day, a geologist walked into the house and was just kind of checking out this old North Carolina house and was enjoying the beauty of it. And he looked at this stone and he was shocked that this doorstop was actually the largest chunk of gold ever found in North Carolina. Sometimes we live our lives in such a way that we don't realize that God loves us and he has shaped us and that in his eyes we are gold. And we think the greatest purpose that we can have is to retire, to make money, to live for the here and now. And we're being, you know, kind of using the gifts, the beauty that God has put into us for something that's like a doorstop instead of for something that is much more glorious and great. And God has shaped you. He has formed you. I mean, you have a specific set of gifts and talents and abilities and things like that that he has put into you, and you are uniquely you. And as you are uniquely you, God has placed you in the community of faith to live out his purpose. But the way you do that is you have to find a place where you are using those gifts and serving in the body, in the church. Now, this week, we are specifically talking about the purpose of ministry. The purpose of ministry. Next week, we will talk about the purpose of mission. Sorry about that. And the bottom line, the big idea here is that God has made you uniquely you. He is making you like Jesus. But as he does that, there are two places where the gifts and abilities you have ought to be used by God for his purposes to advance his kingdom. The first is what we're going to talk about this morning is here. As ministry is God's plan for his church. Mission, on the other hand, is God's plan to reach the lost world. And so you do ministry in the church, or in other words, you find a place to live in the church, to build the body of Christ, to have your purpose. If the Genesis church is your church, a place where you are using the way God has shaped you here for the building up of the body to advance his kingdom for the good of each other. As you use your gifts, I use my gifts. And we become like this puzzle where each person has its own shape. Each person has a specific place that we need to discover and live that out. And if any person just kind of checks out and says, all right, I'm just going to attend, but I'm never really going to get involved, we become like this puzzle that has missing pieces. It's just not complete. And as we figure that out, we figure out how has God wired us, made us, we begin to fulfill that role. God grows his church through people finding their shape and doing that. Next week, we'll say the same is true when you live in your neighborhood, when you're in your job, that God has wired you and shaped you a certain way, and you have a way to live that out in the world so that God can use you to make a difference everywhere you go and everywhere you live. And so he has shaped us for ministry. He has shaped us for mission, and we're to live with that. But here's the deal. You will not come to the point where this really matters to you until we change the way we see church. Let's be honest. If we're not careful, most of us will see church as an event and an organization. I go to church on Sunday. I'm part of this organization, much like the Kiwanis or some other organization. They do good things, and every once in a while, I'll come and be a part of that. We see the church as an organization, and we need to change the way we see church. As we begin to read the New Testament, and we're taking a break right now from the book of Ephesians. We're going to pick that up in a couple of weeks. One of the things that the book of Ephesians is trying to teach us is that the place that God displays his glory on the earth in the greatest way is through the church. God's people coming together, doing faith and life together. And until we see the church as the instrument of God, where he displays the glory of God for the good of the world, for the advance of the kingdom, and that when we come together on Sunday morning, we are doing so much more than just coming to an event. We are displaying the glory of God by being the church together. And when we use our gifts to serve, it may seem insignificant. It may seem like, they'll never miss me. But the truth of the matter is, this is the way God has chosen to demonstrate his greatness and glory. And every one of you finding places to serve and live out your call and make a difference in this church, it's how God shapes our body and uses us as a people of God for his good, for our good and for his glory. And so I just want to challenge you that if you're here today and you're already serving, great. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know what to do, this sermon really is to challenge you to say, let's figure that out. Let's find out where God has for you to serve. In the book of Romans chapter 12, there's a passage that talks very specifically about spiritual gifts. If you have a Bible, go ahead and grab that. If you don't have Bibles in your row, we have Bibles for you. We would love for you to take one of those and read along with us. In Romans chapter 12, we'll begin with verse 3, and that Bible will be on page 811 and 812. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with the zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, do you see this? The outline of the sermon, or the outline of this text, is basically the outline I gave the kids when we did the puzzle. Every person has their own shape. Each person has their own gifts. Every person has their place. We are members of one another, and each person fits where God has assigned them. And every person is important. If you're missing, the body, the church, is missing something in the way they can serve, the way they can minister, the way they can do faith and life. And so one of the goals of the Christian life is to keep praying and asking God to show you these things, and then to follow him, to obey him, to live in ministry, to do ministry in the church. Now, truth is, most of the time, if you were to hear somebody say, all right, who's a minister? For you guys, probably one person comes to mind. Maybe if you've started to figure out, we talk about the elders as all ministers, and so maybe you think of a group of five guys. But if I were to say, who's a minister, how many of you would literally go, I am? I don't see any hands. All right, a couple of hands in the back. But the truth of the matter is, this is what the Bible's trying to teach us. Well, everybody is not a pastor. Every one of you is a minister, which means every one of you should have a ministry, a place where you are using the shape that God has given you to serve his church in a ministry that is yours and yours alone. And as the church does that together, the church will flourish. So the question is, how do I know? How do I figure this out? Well, you're reading this week, if you're reading the book, and if you're not, pick one up, start and read it, get through this book with us. But if you're reading the book, this week will really give you some direction on what that looks like. But in the book, he gives us this acronym SHAPE, and he talks about finding your shape. Well, we want to talk this morning about a couple things that need to happen in your life to really figure out where God is calling you. What is your ministry? And the first thing that we need to do, and by the way, this is all on your little colorful sheet this morning, okay, so you can follow along in here. The first thing that we need to make sure we do is we need to pursue our call. We need to pursue your call. In other words, before I say, what is my spiritual gift, what I really ought to be doing is saying, God, where are you calling me? What is it that you want me to do? And this is an act primarily of prayer, of you making your heart open to God and saying, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do that. I've told this story here before, but I'm going to tell it again of a guy that when I was in youth ministry at the church before we came here, a guy that I went to and I said, hey, here's the deal. I think God wants you to teach a youth boys Sunday school class. And he looked at me and his first response was, hey, I don't have the gift of teaching. And I said, right now, I'm not concerned about that. What I would like you to do is I would like you to go pray about it. And he went and prayed about it for a while, and he came back and he talked to me and he said, I still don't think I have the gift of teaching, but I believe God is calling me to this. And in his prayers, he said, God, where are you calling me? And God is calling me to this. Well, this person became a youth Sunday school teacher and was one of the best boys teachers we ever had at that church. And oh, by the way, that man is an elder at Genesis today. It's Leon Allen. And it was beautiful to watch him interact. Those boys in his class absolutely loved him. He opened his life to them. They opened their lives to him. And he had an impact on the boys he taught for several years in youth Sunday school. Now, if he'd have said, the first question he'd have said is, okay, what are my gifts? Somebody asked him to teach, he would have said, no, that's not my gift. But what we said is, first, before you ask that, just start praying and say, God, where do you want me? What are you calling me to do? And then you say, and God, no matter what you say, the answer is yes. I am willing. I will do whatever you want me to, God. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will serve wherever you want me to serve. The answer is yes. Now, God, tell me what you want. For many of us, our prayer goes like this. God, will you give me my options so I can choose or decide whether or not I will do it? And God doesn't answer those prayers. For a lot of times, if you're saying, God, show me where to go, maybe the reason you're not hearing an answer to that question is because you have not said yes before you've opened your heart to it. You want God to kind of lay out some options, and then you get to choose. And my challenge for you is to start with a heart that says, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. And then to pray, God, show me where you want me to serve, and pursue this, and pursue your call with a passion, and then give it a good old try. Jump in somewhere. You may jump into a ministry team or get involved in something in your community group where you're serving, and after a month or two go, this is not for me. That's okay. It is a lot better than saying, well, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go, so I'm going to sit back and wait and do nothing. Try something. Get involved somewhere. And if it doesn't work, go somewhere else. But pursue your call. And then the second thing is to discover your shape. Your shape. And like I said, shape now is going to be an acrostic to help us understand how God has wired us. And the S in shape is for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. We need to discover and know our spiritual gifts. Now, I've been in churches before that looked at the spiritual gift lists in Scripture and then created like a personality profile where I fill out all the blanks that will tell me what my spiritual gift is. I'm not a big fan of those. But here's why. I actually believe spiritual gifts are something that God gives you after you're saved. It may work with your personality and some of the other things here, but this is a supernatural Holy Spirit power in your life to fulfill your call. In other words, in the story I told you about Leon may not have felt like he had the gift of teaching, but he began to teach as a teacher, and God gave him the ability to do that in his strength, in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. And so spiritual gifts are these beautiful, wonderful abilities that God gives us. And every person in here who knows Jesus, you need to hear this. God has given you spiritual gifts. He has given you spiritual gifts. So the first thing is to start working through it and discover what those are. What are your gifts? Well, how do you know? Well, the best place to go is not to a profile, it's to go to the Bible. And what I've done for you this week is I've given you a chart in this thing that has the four or the five passages that lay out all the spiritual gifts to challenge you to go read these passages and then just pray through this. I have posted something on the blog that is going up this morning that takes each one of these spiritual gifts and explains them. It explains what the gift means. It shows you an example of somebody in Scripture who might have had the gift and how that gift might show up in ministry. And it's something that's actually an appendix to our gospel class. But I would encourage you to go out and read these things and just begin to prayerfully say, God, where are you gifting me? What do my gifts look like? How do I use these? Show me. There's not really a whole lot of places in the Bible where it says discover your gifts. What the Bible keeps saying is use your gift. But to use your gift, there is a sense of understanding. You got to know what that is. This passage from Romans 12, it said, if your gift is this, do it. If your gift is this, do it. If your gift is this, do it. So we need to figure out our gifts, and then we need to use our spiritual gifts. And just a couple things about this. We need to know our gifts. We need to develop our gifts. There's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, where it talks about fanning into flame or stirring up the gifts that we have. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul is telling this young man, Timothy, that our spiritual gifts are much like a fire. Sometimes they can grow dead and cold. And just like me on the ground when the fire pits, you know, the fire's going out, I'm down on the ground just blown into fire, trying to do everything I can to stir that fire up. Sometimes, because we haven't been serving, because our faith has grown a little dead and cold, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to get down on and just fan in the flame the gifts that are in us. Well, how do you do that? You serve. You use your gifts. You go on a mission trip. I mean, that sort of stuff, okay? And so we need to develop our gifts. We need to figure out how to use them and all that kind of stuff. We need to use our gifts. And so like I said, a little homework here. Go home this week. Start praying through this. Read these passages. Look through the scriptures. It is my belief here. This is what I believe. First of all, that as you read the gifts, I believe that every gift that is listed in these passages is available to the church today. That doesn't mean every person has every gift. Absolutely not. And there's no one gift that's better than the others. But we need to just go to those and say, God, show us. Show me where you've given me spiritual gifts. How do I use them? And I also don't believe that the list is comprehensive. I actually believe because every list that's listed in scripture is different, this is more of a selective thing. It's more of an idea. And there's other people even in the scriptures who have gifts that may not be on the list, but they're reflective of what it means to have a spiritual gift, okay? But begin to say, God, show me my gifts. Let me use my spiritual gifts. If you're not a Christian, trust Jesus, and then he will gift you. H stands for your heart. What are you passionate about? What is it that just stirs your emotions, that makes you excited, that makes you just thrilled? What type of people, when you're around them, do they just fill your tank, okay? For me, I'll tell you my story. If you ever asked me to work in preschool Sunday school, I would laugh right in your face. I have two. That's enough, okay? I'm just saying. It's all I can handle, and they pretty much take it out of me. But for 20 years, I worked with teenagers, and I absolutely loved it. But I was around a lot of people who say, man, I can't, teenagers scare me, and they freak me out, and they're too cynical. I'm like, that's what makes them fun. And so you got to understand your passions. What are you passionate about? There's all kinds of things where you can use your passions. I'll just give you an example in mission for me, a passion. I love baseball, right? And so how can I use baseball, this passion for baseball, for umpiring, for the glory of God, for the advance of his kingdom? Well, for me, one of the ways that I do that is by serving on the board of the Eureka Sports Association, and I help them with umpiring and run tournaments, baseball tournaments for them. It's just a simple way for me to use something I'm passionate about as a way to be part of this community because I love the city and I want to make a difference here, okay? What are you passionate about? What's your heart? Third thing is abilities. What are things that God has given you the unique ability to do? Now, here's what happens. Most of the time we ask that, we feel like, I don't know. And then we come up with something, we're like, there's no way God can use that. And so maybe, just maybe, you're a little bit about these, a little bit like these people in this video clip that we have for you. So what if that's you? What if it's weak and so? That's all I got. Church I was at before we came to this one had a group of ladies who they were pretty good at. They loved to sew. And they decided to start this ministry where they got together once a week. They read the Bible together. They prayed for people in the church. And then they made quilts. And over a several year period of time, they literally raised thousands of dollars for the Missouri Baptist Children's Home, making quilts that they would take to an auction and sell and donate the proceeds to a place that serves kids from broken lives and broken homes. I mean, it's just cool. So we can sow. Guess what? For the glory of God, God can use that ability for his purpose to advance his kingdom for the good of the body, for the glory of God, right? What are your abilities? What is it that you have the unique ability to do? Be his personality. What is your personality? You know, what are you like? Are you outgoing? Are you introverted? Are you a people person? Are you task-driven? What are your love languages? My encouragement to you is if you've never done it, do a DISC profile just to see, you know, are you a DISC? And I'm not going to explain that this morning. If you go take it, I actually gave you a website where you can take one of those profiles. It'll just help you understand your personality. But your personality type is part of the way God has made you, and it matters. And so what is your personality? And then E is experiences. What experiences have you had in your life that has shaped who you are, that has impacted the way you see the world? It can be experiences like brokenness in your life, tough situation growing up as a kid, abuse. It can be good experiences. It can be your experiences in your employment, experiences in your just way of doing life. I mean, we all have experiences that we can bring to the table, and God can use those experiences to impact other people, to shape the world, all that sort of thing. And so when you take your spiritual gifts, your personality, heart, abilities, personality, experiences, your shape, figure out what that looks like. And then begin to ask the question, God, where do you want to use me? Where can I take the unique person that I am? Because we each have a shape. God, show me the place that you want that to be used in your church, in your body. Because every person matters, and anybody who's missing, we're going to miss. It's going to be important to us. Now, we have a really good story of that this morning. I found out something about Eric a while back that I'm going to let him come tell you. So Eric Burnley, who is part of our worship team, is here this morning. I don't know, where is Eric? All right, here he comes. He's going to come down here. And he's going to tell you a little bit about his story, about things that he is passionate about, and a little bit about his story about what he does for us now and how he is using his shape to make a difference in Genesis Church, all right? So Eric, how are you doing this morning, bro?
Pretty good, a little froggy today.
It's good to see you, bud.
As Mike mentioned, God's given me a passion for music. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about what that looks like, both before and after my conversion. I came to Christ when I was about 28, so fairly late. Before that, you know, I started out taking piano lessons in third grade. I did clarinet all through school. I did start playing guitar when I was in middle school. I bought my first electric when I was in high school, and I never really played in any bands until after I got out of college. So the first and only real band I ever played in was a death metal band. And if you've never heard of death metal, it basically is loud, heavy guitars, drums, and vocals that sound like Cookie Monster. So I spent 5 years in that band. We did 3 full-length records, an EP. We played a lot of shows, did a lot of stuff, but you know, my main satisfaction, I liked playing live and stuff like that, but my main source of satisfaction and joy came out of the creative process, writing and recording music, and that quickly became an idol for me, because I would continually focus on topping the last record that we did, looking for accolades from people, which, you know, if you've ever read any record reviews, you know that that's vastly opinionated, and it vacillates between, you know, someone will hate the record and the next person will love it. So it's extremely not truth-based. So about midway through that 5-year period, I started dating Jody, who is now my wife. I was living in Chicago. We dated back and forth for about 2.5 years. I finally moved here in November 2002, and we started going to regularly attending a Bible-believing church, and I heard the gospel. About 6 months later, I received Christ into my life, and after that, music started to change a little bit. I still enjoyed making music, but I could no longer do it with the same intent in mind of serving myself. I was constantly dumping money and time and energy into the band, whereas now I didn't feel like I could do that, and because my life needed to be focused on Christ. So I had done some recording at home, As you can guess, recording music takes silence. And so once we started having children, children are the antithesis of silence, so that kind of went away. I made a conscious decision to put that on a shelf. But then God opened up my heart to the possibility of playing music for him. I was attending Bible study fellowship, so they needed a piano player. So I stepped in and did that. Twin Oaks Church, which we used to go to, I think I may be the only person to have ever played an electric guitar in that church. I'm not sure, but but I did that there. I joined the orchestra there, played clarinet for about a year, and then I came here. And I've been doing the ministry team here for about a year. But the focus has totally changed. You know, I'm not playing to feed my ego. I'm not playing to, you know, top my own goals. I get to play here for you guys. I don't, and in doing that, I'm not taking time away from my family to go into a corner in my house and play what I want to play because I want to play it. They're here, you know. You can probably hear them. They're here.
Dude, they're not alone, trust me.
But, you know, it's a completely different mindset because I get to glorify God and there is no guilt in pursuing that love.
Cool.
And there's a Ephesians quote you had mentioned. Ephesians talks about this, so I wanted to share Ephesians 4:11. Says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness of deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And that was the main thing that I wanted to just keep encouraging. I mean, you've done a great job today of mentioning it. Just keep thinking and praying about the things that God's given you, the talents that he's given you, the strive, the things you love to do, and pray about how this can be used in our church because we need you. It's the only way that the body of Christ works.
Very cool. Thanks, man. See, isn't that perfect? Death metal. Now, if y'all know Eric, the first time you heard that, it was like, really? Death metal. That's amazing. Hey, when you came in, we gave you a puzzle piece, and this is our game plan. We have a table out there, and all the... No, I'm kidding. The reason I'm joking about that, we were sitting in a creative team kicking around ideas for the service, and the whole puzzle idea came up. We said, what we're going to do is we're going to give everybody a puzzle piece, and Rob Matt, who's part of our creative team, this way he uses his shape to serve the body here. He helps us come up with ideas, and he was helping us, you know, creating this week, and he said, I went to a church one time that did this sort of thing where they gave everybody a piece of the puzzle, and they went out in the crowd after you're supposed to go out and find your place and, you know, do... He said, it was terrible. He said, if you did that, I'm not coming back to this church again, just letting you know, okay? So we're not doing that. This is more of a reminder, okay? You have your puzzle piece, all right? And what we want you to do is throw it in your pocket, throw it in your purse, throw it in your car as a reminder this week to do a couple things. First of all, read the book with us, okay? Use the little sheet that we had this week and do the homework. And use this as a way to remind you every time you grab your coins out of your pocket and you grab the puzzle piece or you put it on your nightstand, whatever you do with it, every time you look at it, use it as a reminder to pray this. God, show me where you want me to serve you in your church. Now, how do you do that in Genesis? Two ways, really fast. Band's had it up there. We're going to sing and worship Jesus, but two ways. First of all, we have ministry teams. Our ministry teams are, it's kind of the way we've shaped our ministry so that people can get involved. We have brochures out in the foyer. There is stuff on our website about our ministry teams. We have, I think, 8 different ministry teams that oversee large sections of ministry. The worship team is one of these teams. The creative team, and stage design, this all kind of goes together. There's ministry teams for children. There's ministry team to help us greet people from the time they turn off of 109 all the way until they're sitting in the seat. All kinds of different ministry teams. And one way to use your gifts is to get involved in a ministry team. To find one, to serve, to give it a try. If you're on a ministry team, you're like, this doesn't fit me, go try something else, okay? We have lots of needs on teams. Let me just tell you some of our needs. That this comes from Bob Lancaster, who is our leader. He's the elder who oversees our ministry teams. We need somebody to kind of help us organize and be in charge of what happens on the parking lot. We want to greet people as soon as they turn in so they know where to go. And we need workers to work with that. This is a desperate need. We need 2 or 3 adults who are willing to get up a little bit earlier and get here around 8 o'clock in the morning to help us unpack the trailer, and very specifically, who will give from 8 to 8:45 or so on Sunday morning to help us set up the kids area. This is a like crisis need right now. And so we need somebody who just said, man, I could do that. I could get up a little bit earlier. I could come. You even have time to go back home and get the rest of your family and bring them to church when you're done. We could use some youth on that team too, but we desperately need an adult or two who will drive that and make it happen. We need people to man the welcome table. We right now need some more workers and kids and toddlers who will work in that area. We need some more people who, like I said, at 8 o'clock will come help us unload the van and do all that stuff. And so we literally need help on our ministry teams. We need help on our prayer team, people who show up early and just go around and pray with our the other ministry teams to make sure they're going well. We would love for God to call somebody here who has the unique ability to do video creating and editing. If you have a background where you're good at that, we would love to see you just use that gift and skill here, and we can make videos. So lots of options. And if I didn't list something that's for you, trust me, there's a place to serve. Ministry teams. The second way is ministry dreams. It may be that your gift set and your passions and your shape could help us dream a ministry that we haven't started yet. I have a lot of people come to me often and say, you know, we ought to do this, this, and this. I want to lovingly tell you that for the people who are already serving, we're tapped out. Maybe you saying we ought to is God's way of saying, take the ball, run with it, and create a ministry that we can get some other people to assist you in to serve something either in our church or in the community. And so dream with us. Use your shape to dream. Ministry teams, ministry dreams, get involved. Use your puzzle piece in the place that God is putting it. Pray, make a difference here. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing to Jesus, because at the end of the day, while this is a challenge to serve, the heart of it is that Jesus served us by giving his life for us. And we're going to celebrate him and then remember that using our shape is an act of worship, giving glory to God for all that he's done for us. So Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you do. We pray this morning that you will help us discover our calling, to pursue that, and then to discover our shape and use our spiritual gifts, our passions, our heart, our abilities, our experiences, the way you want us in the place you have for us in your church. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory. In your name I pray, amen.